Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
Welcome. Nice to be with you once again. If I had my choice, I would suspend everybody, everything, and I would like to sit right across from you or next to you, and you and I have a personal chat about things because life is important. Your life is important. And golly, I just wish I could be there with you. Since I can't, then I guess this is the next best thing. At least I get to share the Bible truth to you, and that's what's really important. And recently, we've been studying the subject of how to face the future when anti-God cultures self-destruct. And they will, and they do. In fact, we went on to part two of that. Again, what are we going to do when all around us is chaos and breakdown and liberty is being challenged and our core values are being destroyed? What should we do about it? That's the question. So after having that discussion twice, we then went on to discuss a very important subject, and that is how to prevent being deceived. So if you haven't viewed that, you should, because we're living in the midst of phenomenal propaganda machinery, evil inspired, most of it, a lot of it. And the intent is to get inside our head, change our thinking, manipulate us. And we become pawns in the hands of big-time manipulators, narcissists, who seek merely to control and benefit from our stupidities. If they can make us stupid, they will. So we spent time on that subject of how to prevent being deceived. Today, I want to get a little farther along the track with you, because in the view of all of that we've learned that's going on that's most inappropriate, and that's a mild term to use, I think I want to spend some time with you on how to stop worrying about everything that's coming. Whoa, that's the subject today, how to stop worrying. Now, it may not seem an easy thing to do, especially in view of all that we know is actually going on. But people everywhere, couples and married couples and singles and parents and grandfathers and mothers with their children, everybody's got worries because of what's going on. What are we going to do about it? How could we ever count the number of tears that are, oh my, isn't it sad? And so people of every persuasion are facing with the tomorrows that don't make a lot of sense. And so they naturally worry about it. And some of them turn to, and I don't know when we'll learn this, but when will we ever learn that there's no chemical cure for spiritual problems, okay? And even the children are affected. The little ones are now being raised into an environment that is uncertain, unsure, damaged, and loneliness has taken over, and emptiness and disillusionment and heartbreak, and people are scared and they're nervous, and human wreckage is piling up fast, and it's all around us, this destructive forces, whether it leads to some place, it really does lead to disorder and disease. And we wonder, will there ever be an end to it? Will we ever get to the end of worrying about the future? I'm not sure unless we know some Bible answers to the question. In fact, I want to take you to another scene, a loneliness. This scene is repeated who knows how many times around the world. The environment may be different, but the issue is the same. And What we really need to learn is the words of Jesus when he says this, "Come unto me. Come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And this is what he says. "I will give you rest. Learn of me. Because if you do, you will find rest to your souls," not anguish. And he made it very plain. He said, "My way is easy and my burden is light." Coming to Jesus is the smartest thing anybody can ever do. It's one of the keys to the subject of today, how to stop worrying. Let's take a look at some basic truths. First of all, we need a definition, I think, for worrying. So out of the Oxford English Dictionary, it says, it's a troubled state of mind arising from the frets and the cares of life. It's a harassing anxiety that sits in and disturbs us mentally, emotionally, and psychologically in great distress. The Oxford English Dictionary does an interesting thing. It goes on to give the definition of worry as the word choking. And it's applied mostly to the animal world. When an animal is confronted by another animal who threatens his very well-being, chokes, gets paralyzed. And that is exactly what happens to us when we worry. We get attacked at the very core of who we are. We wonder if we're accepted. We wonder if we're acceptable, and do we have any value? And of course, we've all heard the term worry warts. But with worry comes a sense of insecurity, inner turmoil, stress, and that's a killer. Physical diseases can come out of this thing. And bad as it seems, worry will paralyze our abilities, stifle our creativity. And in fact, the scriptures will tell us it's very tormenting. So how do we stop worrying? First point, here we go. You need to realize that the causes for worry are here to stay. They're not going to go away. We've got to learn to cope with them. They're here to stay. Trouble's here to stay. And that's why Jesus said it this way. He said, in the world, you are going to have trouble, tribulation. But the next thing you need to learn is simply this, that Jesus knows the way to conquer this tribulation, this worry. Look at the scripture again. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But look what he says. I love this about him. Someday I'd like to write a book on the 1,000 things I love about Jesus, because I'm sure I can come up with 1,000 plus. Here's one of them. He comes along and he says, "Yeah, there's going to be trouble, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. I mean, it's going to be okay. And here's the reason why. I have overcome the world. I am going to show you exactly how to overcome the world." So how do you stop worrying? You realize that the causes of worry are here to stay. And you also realize that Jesus knows the way to conquer it, and that's what we want to understand today. So here we go. Here we go. Next thing to learn, and put it in your notes, is that the way of Jesus and the way of God is actually designed to be worry-free. That's what he wants for you. No worrying. Zero, zero, nada. And this is how he phrases it in Scripture. Take no thought for your life. What you eat, what you shall drink, what you put on. Nothing about your body, what you should put on. Is not life more than meat and food and the body more than raiment? Here's a translation from J.B. Phillips. Don't worry about living, wondering what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Surely, life is a lot more important than that. So we have to realize that God's way is to actually stop worrying. No worry. God's way is worry-free. So how does Jesus want us to learn how to be worry-free? Now, this is going to shock you. I'm going to surprise you. He says, I want you to learn it from looking at the birds. Yep, and I'll show it to you in the Bible. He said, behold the fowls of the air. They don't put seed in the ground. They don't reap. They don't have to gather stuff and put it in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now look at this question. So do you not think you are much better than they? Oh my. Look at this now. Look at the birds in the sky. They never sow nor reap. They don't store in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Don't you? And aren't you much more valuable to him than the birds? You know, God is the only one that visits the funeral of a sparrow. One scripture tells us about that. He sees the sparrow fall. And then he asks the question, don't you think you're worth a lot more than the sparrows? And that's what was born that great song. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So God wants us to learn from the birds. So let's take a look at the birds. This is where your lesson starts, looking at the birds, looking at the birds. I mean, do you really think they are here just for decoration purposes? Or are they here to teach us something? According to Jesus, if you want to learn not to worry, you need to look at the birds and have a good peek at them. Have a good peek at them. Oh my goodness. Breathtaking. And this one, hummingbird, can fly backwards, the only bird that can. They come in all shapes and sizes. We learn about the birds by, and when we do, oh my goodness, I hope that you take time to study the birds. Become a bird watcher. Watch how they are carefree. Worry-free. I mean, calm, cool, collected, composed. They're not upset about anything. They're even approach so fearless that they sometimes approach us. And so we see the birds. And my, how wonderful it is. So God says, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to take a look at the birds. Now, I started something. I have a four-wheeler. I like to go. I don't get enough time to do this, but I like to go in the bush and get away from the whole world almost, you know. And I have this little machine I take with me. And when I get there, I'll push a button. I'll push another button here. I have 200 different buttons I can push. And I go in the woods and I push the button to see if they'll answer me. So, you see, the Lord comes. The Lord comes to teach us of the birds. How to stop worrying? And learn from the birds. That's why he said, behold the fowls of the air. They don't worry over anything. And they get looked after. And then they asked this really rhetorical question, or do you not think that you're better than they? And of course, the answer is yes. Translation, look at the birds in the sky. They never sow, reap, nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they are? So what we've got to do is check out the birds. Look at the birds. Because he wants us to imitate some aspects. The animals are here to teach us lessons, by the way. You know that, right? In fact, one scripture says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and learn his ways and be wise. Proverbs 6:6. Check out the ant. I mean, the lessons you can learn from an ant. I mean, it's amazing. Which of you? Now, let me take this a step further. He wants us to go to the birds and check them out. And he also wants us to learn that worry does not work. It has zero benefit in it. It doesn't give you anything. It's just destructive. So here's the question he asks, another rhetorical question. He says, which of you, by just thinking about things, worrying about things, do you think you can add one cubit to your stature? Let's get a translation of this. Can any of you, however much he worries, make himself an inch taller? And you know how many people worry about, will I be tall enough? Will I be thin enough? Oh my goodness. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? From the New Living Translation. Well, it's a rhetorical question, and the answer is absolutely not. Worry produces no benefit at all. So here's what Jesus does, and we're following this passage sequentially. He said, I want you to check out the birds, and I want you to realize that worry doesn't benefit you anything at all. And then he says, I don't want you to just check out the birds. I want you to check out the flowers. So he asks this question, why do you take thought for your clothes? And look what he says. He says, consider, this is the instruction, consider the lilies of the field. And they grow. They don't worry. They don't toil. And they don't spin. They don't have to even make their own clothes. Look at this translation. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They don't work or weave. But I tell you, now watch this, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was never arrayed like these. Solomon, you know about Solomon, right? He's the only trillionaire in history. I mean, he had gold everywhere, tons of gold. He studied, well, better not spend too much time on Solomon, but here's the story that Jesus said. He said, don't you know that even the birds are more beautiful than Solomon in all of his glory? Now look at what he says. So if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow's cast in the oven, gets burned up by the sun, shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? I want you, Jesus says, to look at the flowers. Take a close-up. Take a magnifying glass. Check out the flowers. He says, you're more important than them, and they don't worry, and they don't fret. They just like, don't you understand that you're more important? But I want you to check the birds out, and I want you to look at the flowers. Because I want your life to be as calm, as collected, as meaningful, as significant, as beautiful, as colorful, as developed, as secure. as every flower. I want you to consider the lilies of the field. I want you to check them out. When I was younger, I used to do camps with teenagers, right? And one of the activities we used to do is we would take a coat hanger. Everybody got a coat hanger. And you stretch the coat hanger into a different shape, like almost square. And then we got all the teenagers to throw their coat hanger as far in any direction they wanted to, as far as they could. And then they go and find the coat hanger. And here was the assignment. Don't move the coat hanger. Just get down on your knees and stare inside the perimeter of the coat hanger and see what's there. Some of them started taking notes. It's amazing what God has placed all around us. Looking inside the coat hanger, you saw amazing things. Don't let your life be so busy that we don't follow what Jesus says. I want you to consider the birds. I want you to learn from them. I want you to learn from the flowers. And they are so beautiful that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not as beautiful as they. So watch this now. If God clothes the grass of the field, don't you think he'll clothe you? Don't you think he'll take care of you? So we're making progress, but let me take you farther in this same passage of Scripture. Because in this, we learn that we should simply seek God and seek to do what is right. Watch the Scripture now. So after you've checked the flowers and after you've checked the birds, look at this now. Take no thought. Stop thinking about this stuff. What you eat, what you drink, what you do, and how you're going to be clothed. Stop worrying about that. Because now watch this. After all these things, do the heathen think? They seek these things. But your Heavenly Father, he knows what you need. And he's your Father. He knows what you need. Now watch this. But instead of doing all the worry stuff, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness on what God says is right. Simply do what is right according to God. Now watch this. Look at this. It's a staggering promise. Everything else will be added unto you. Everything else. You don't have to worry about it. Learn from the birds. Learn from the flowers. Seek God first and seek to do what is right. And if you do, all these things will be added unto you. Translation, don't worry and don't keep saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? That is what the pagans are always looking for. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So look at this now. Set your goodness and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. You don't have to worry. Worry won't get them there. So learn from the birds. Learn from the flowers. Learn there's no benefit in worrying. Instead, simply do what's right according to God. And he's the way, he's how we know what is right. All right. Now, we're really getting to the important conclusion here. And I want you not to miss this. Live by the day. Forget the past. and dismiss the future. Now look what Jesus is telling us now. Because of everything we've just learned, he says, therefore, and whenever you see therefore, you need to look at what it's there for, right? Because of the foregoing, he said, look at it. Stop thinking about tomorrow. Why? Because the moral will take thought for itself. You can do it tomorrow. And look at this. Sufficient unto the day. You got enough going on today to deal with. Stop thinking about tomorrow. Let's look at this. Again, don't worry at all then about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day. Live by the day, forgetting the past and dismissing the future. You. So it is. Take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient is day. Now watch this, because I want you now to see a diagram. And if you're going to write the diagram down, you should make it look sort of like this. It's just a line that says the past, the present, and the future, okay? The past, today, and the future. And there you have it. Now watch this. Watch the diagram with me. Because people worry about the past. They allow the past to contaminate today, to damage today, to occupy today, to preoccupy their thinking. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's just in the background. Now watch the scriptures, they are so important. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. This is, let me tell you about the scripture. This is written by the one we know as the Apostle Paul, previously Saul, the persecutor of Christians, the Jewish jihadist who killed Christians. He did it legally, got laws manipulated. That's why you want to watch out, because that's what happened in 1936, 1937. Germany, they passed laws to make the killing of Jewish people legal. And in fact, in the Nuremberg trials, the main defense was we didn't break any laws. They broke moral laws, broke the laws, but they had legal. And so here is this Jewish jihadist, Saul. And he's there, he's killing Christians. He's got a whole team of killers with him. And one day, he has an event that I hope you've had, and if you haven't, that you will have it. He happened to be on the road to Damascus. And a light shone from heaven, and a voice came out of the sky. He fell off his horse, struck blind. And he heard the voice say, why persecutest me? Why are you killing my Christians? And he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And that day, Saul, the terrorist killer, found Jesus. Jesus found him. Struck blind. They carried him into Jerusalem to a street called Straight. 3 days later, God sent somebody there to pray for him so he'd get his sight back, and he did. He ended up writing 11 books of the New Testament, 14 books, rather, of the New Testament. How do you do that when you've been a killer of Christians? And the answer is this. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark. So, you want to stop worrying, you need to stop worrying about the past. Look at this scripture. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Don't even think about the past. Yeah. Because God says, I will do a new thing, and it will spring forth, and you'll know about it, right? Watch this now. This is so vitally important. Because we allow everything that has been to invade our lives today. Now, not only that, but watch the diagram now. Because we allow the future to affect today. We worry about the future. So comes the Lord. Remember what he just said. Take no thought for tomorrow. Because you can deal with that stuff tomorrow. Don't deal with it today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's look at another scripture. I will do a new thing. And it will spring forth, shall you not? See, now watch this. You do not want to bring the worries of yesterday into today. And you don't want to bring the worries of tomorrow into today. Because you really get messed up. Today becomes a day of worry because we allow the invasion of the past and the invasion of the future and our mental stability, our emotional strength, our psychological well-being, our spiritual well-being is damaged by all the negativity that occupies today. So comes now the Lord, and this is what he says about today. I want you to pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. In fact, you know, when the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they were only allowed to collect food for one day. Couldn't save it up, it would rot, was damaged. And so the Lord taught us to pray for a day, not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. Let's look at another scripture. Blessed be the Lord. Now watch this. Because what he does in the present day, not the future, not the past. Look at this now. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. See, law, I mean, whoa, far out. This is awesome. He daily loads us. Why would you want to let the worry of tomorrow interfere with his daily provision today? Listen to another translation. Blessed be the Lord. Day after day, he carries us along. Oh, this is so good. Look at this. Praise the Lord. Praise God, our Savior, for each day, he carries us in his arms. That's why we must learn to live for today, forget the past, and dismiss the future, and just live for today. More scripture. What a glorious Lord. He who daily, look at this now. What does he do daily? Daily bears our burdens and also gives us salvation on a daily basis. Salvation is not something that just happened some years ago or months ago or weeks ago. It's a function of every day. Look at the scripture now, because it basically says that what a glorious Lord who daily bears our burdens. I mean, he's with you today. He gives us our salvation. He frees us. He rescues us from death. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Watch this now. I want you to get this idea fully set in your thinking that we are to forget the past, dismiss the future, and be just living in today. Look at this scripture with me. Blessed is a man that hears me, watching daily at my posts, at my gates, waiting at the posts of my daily. For whoso findeth me findeth life and obtains the favor of the Lord. But he sinneth against his own, he wrongs his own soul. All they that hate the instructions of the Lord love death. That's why he doesn't want you to worry. Look at this. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily. Daily. One more. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Oh, my goodness. One more. As thy days, so shall thy strength. Don't worry about tomorrow. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. So we can worry about, we'll take care of tomorrow when we get there. But right now is today. As thy days, so shall thy strength. I had so many verses about this are important. So will I sing praise unto the name, thy name forever, that I, look at this, I may daily perform my vows. Oh my goodness. So here we go. We are to live day by day. We're to live by the day. The only way to do that is to forget the past and dismiss the future. I've shown you scriptures to show this is what Jesus wants. But let's take one more look at what he says. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't even bother thinking about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Now here's a big one. Make your life day tight. Make your life day tight. Now, this term came as a result of Dale Carnegie seeing these scriptures. He came up with this idea of living day tight. Now, we understand what watertight is, right? You get into a boat, and hopefully it's watertight. If it's watertight, the water can't get in. The boat is sealed. It's watertight. And that's what day tight is. Day tight is keeping the day so tight that the past can't get in and the future can't get in. No pressure living the day tight life. Now, I want you to go back with me to the diagram. And I'm going to blow it up in a little larger in a moment, but I want you to see this idea. Getting rid of the past, forget it, dismiss the future. Live your life today. Make your life day tight. So now, I want you to see what happens if you will make your life day tight. Because now, the worry about the past is gone. The worry about the future is no more. And now, because you're living today, forgetting the past, dismissing the future, instead of worry, guess what? Because the past isn't intruding and the future isn't intruding. Whew, no worries. I just got today to look after. You get calm. You get peace. What's that word? You feel certain. You're unmoved. No, there's an old word, discombobulated. It doesn't happen anymore. Calm, cool, collected, peaceful. You live in a serenity where all the worries have no place anymore. And you live in this confident place of trusting one who is trustworthy. You live in sureness. You did this by making your life day tight. Keep the past out. Keep the future in the future. Don't let it intrude. Stay day tight. Don't let any of that leak in with all of his potential worries, so that you can make your day tight. I want you to see the scripture one more time. Take no thought, zero, no, zero, zero, zero thought for tomorrow. Everything's going to look after itself tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Make your life day tight. That's why we have this phenomenal scripture. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, God always speaks to you today. Oh, this is big stuff. In one verse of scripture, he says, don't listen to the thunder. Don't look at the lightning. I'm not in the lightning. I'm not in the thunder. Instead, I want you to listen to the still small voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. So what happens is that God deals with us only in today. And so he says, today. Now watch this. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do you know what hardens your heart? Worry. Do you know what keeps you from hearing his voice? Worry. Mental preoccupation with stuff that you can't do much about anyhow. So today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't let it, just keep your life day tight. We've even had songs about it. Today. Now, my last point, and I think the last point of the Lord. Here's what he says. I want you to be careful for nothing. I don't want you to have care. Now, careful, that's what the word careful means. Now, let me just suggest that in scripture, every truth has to be balanced. Every road has a ditch, one side and the other side, right? There's careless in one ditch, and there's overcare on the other ditch, and there's proper care in the middle. He's talking in this verse about don't get in the ditch where you're full of care. Look at it again. Be careful for nothing. But he tells us, doesn't just give us the negative thing, because what do we do? Be careful for nothing. In fact, another translation says, don't worry over anything whatsoever, right? Be careful for nothing. Watch now. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You got to get this. Care will prevent you from the blessing of the Lord. Overcare, always worrying. Instead of worrying, he comes along and says, don't be full of care, but instead, no matter what the subject is, go to God in prayer. Vertical. Be thankful. Tell him what you want. Talk to me. You don't have to play Shakespeare when you pray. Lord, if it were done when it is done, then 'twere well if it were done quickly. Don't play Shakespeare. I like Shakespeare, but you don't have to play old-fashioned English when you pray to God. Thou, therefore. God says, just talk to me. Now, never forget this. At least one half of prayer is listening. Make your requests known and then listen. You see, that's what that verse was we just covered. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now watch. Here's what's going to happen. And this is a solution, how to stop worrying. Every one of these points. Make sure you just tell God every detail of your needs. Do it in earnest and be thankful as you pray. Remember, we go to the throne of grace to find help, to find grace to help in time of need. Make sure that you're praying. Now, watch this. Because on the intelligence monitor right now, you're going to see the result of non-worrying, taking everything to God, in a moment by moment, incident by incident, and look what will happen. Are you ready? And the peace of God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. You don't have to figure it out. You can't figure it out. Watch what happens. When you replace worry, you get the peace of God, which passes understanding. And look what it does. That peace shall keep your heart, and it will keep your minds through Christ Jesus, who will always come. Sending you there. Look at the translation. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It's amazing. One more time, I want you to see this verse. The peace of God, which passes, you won't even know where it came from, just comes. Passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God shall keep your heart and mind. So before we go, let's do a quick summary. How do you stop worrying? Realize that every worry cause is here to stay. Learn that Jesus knows the way to conquer. God's way is designed to be worry-free. God says, learn from the birds. Realize that worry does not work, has no benefits. Learn from the flowers. Simply seek God and do what is right. Live by the day, forgetting the past and dismissing the future. Make your life daytight. Make it daytight. Be full of care for nothing. Because if you are, the peace of God will rule your heart and mind. And this, my friends, is how we stop worrying.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.